public education in Michigan will have a new leader this summer. Last week, the State Board of Education voted 7-1 to hire Dearborn Schools Chief Brian Whiston as the next state superintendent. He'll replace Michael Flanagan, who will retire in July after 10 years at the helm of the Michigan Department of Education. Mr. Whiston's appointment is pending formal approval from the state board, which is expected soon. He will inherit a public education system that's wrestling with issues ranging from charter school authorization to standardized testing. Joining me now by phone to talk about his new appointment and his vision for the future, Michigan's incoming state superintendent, Brian Whiston. Welcome to Current State, sir.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
A doctor has to look at the X-ray before they begin an operation. What does that X-ray of public education in Michigan look like to you? What are the problem areas that need adjusting?
Well, I think there's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot of great teachers who are making a difference in the lives of kids every day, and we need to celebrate that. But with that said, we can do better, and we have to change what's happening in a lot of our classrooms to get students to take ownership of their learning and to have teachers be more facilitators of the learners. Those who are doing the talking are doing the learning. So we want students to be doing the investigation, the talking, using technology to investigate, and really understand where they're at in reading and math and graph and chart their growth. So classroom instruction will be the focus.
Are students not taking enough ownership of their education these days?
Well, I think for a long time we as adults just kind of delivered the instruction and expected students to, you know, to soak it up. And with some students that works, but every student has a different learning style. And I think, you know, we have to find those learning styles and what excites kids about learning and use that information to help them. So, for example, you say you don't like math, but you love baseball. Baseball is all about math. So how can we use, you know, baseball to teach you math? It's really about finding what excites and motivates students to learn and then using that information to help them.
Michigan will phase in a new standardized test this year called MSTEP, the Michigan Student Test of Educational Progress, but we're already seeing some backlash to that measure. A Detroit Free Press article this week indicates that a growing number of parents are choosing to opt out of having their kids take the MSTEP. How are you addressing that in Dearborn?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important that our students take a variety of different types of tests. You know, teachers need to drive instruction and understand if kids are learning what they're supposed to, so there's different types of assessments that they use. And it's certainly fair for the taxpayers to hold us accountable to how our students achieve, so we need tests to show that. So we do need a variety of different types of tests. I just wonder if we could find a way to mix those tests and maybe test a little less. I mean, for the state test is for high schools, it's about 15 hours. For elementary and middle school students, it's 7 to 9 hours. And I just wonder in this day and age of technology, if there isn't a test out there that can see what students know and how they could transfer that knowledge and do it in a way that we can reduce the amount of testing. So that's certainly something I want to look into.
Would you characterize the larger public response to assessments as a backlash? Do you feel like we're going through a period of backlash against testing and assessments?
Well, I think parents are raising concerns about the amount of testing, and I think teachers are raising the concerns that, you know, we're doing so much testing that we're losing instructional time. And so that's why I think we have to find a marriage between what teachers need to know to drive instruction and what, from an accountability model, is fair to hold schools accountable. So I do think we need to work with the testing experts to find a way to reduce the amount of testing on students so more time can be spent in the classroom investigating and learning.
We're talking today with Dearborn Public Schools Superintendent Brian Whiston. He is Michigan's incoming state schools superintendent. He's expected to take over those duties in July on the retirement of Michael Flanagan. There's a fight brewing now between Governor Snyder and the State Board of Education. The governor signed an executive order last week that transfers the School Reform Office out of the hands of the board and into the Department of Technology Management and Budget, and that office directly reports to Governor Snyder. There's some question as to whether the governor has the legal authority to make that move. What's your position?
Well, first of all, we're going to provide services to the students in those districts because it's got to be about them first and helping them be successful in helping the staff with professional development and what they need to turn around those districts. So first of all, we're going to focus on providing support to the staff and students to help them achieve. That's going to be our number one goal. And number two, I hope in time that the governor will see that we are about holding ourselves and our teachers, our administrators, our superintendents accountable for at least a year's growth out of students and sometimes more, and that building that relationship, that the governor eventually will move the program back within the department where I think it belongs. But first of all, let's concentrate on meeting the needs of kids, and then we'll worry about what department it's in.
How much will the outcome of this dispute impact your job?
Well, I hope that once the governor and I and the state board get a chance to have a conversation, that it won't be a dispute, that we'll be focused on providing what the kids need to be successful and what the staff needs, and we'll move forward from this. So I'm hoping it won't be a dispute at all.
The governor has no direct control over the State Board of Education. However, you've spent some of your career as a lobbyist for the Oakland schools. You've been in both the educational and the political realms, if you will. Do you see the state superintendent as a bridge between the Department of Education and the governor's office?
Yeah, I hope so, and with legislators. I hope that I can use the relationships that I've built over the last 20, 25 years to really focus us on, as I said, students first. And if we could do that, we could argue behind the scenes about what's right and what's best and come to an agreement on how to move forward. But let's focus on the success of the students first and foremost.
Incoming Michigan State School Superintendent Brian Whiston is our guest this morning on WKAR's Current State. How do you feel about getting this gig? I mean, this is a big, big job with a ton of moving parts. How do you feel about
taking over?
I'm
very excited about the opportunity. You know, I think the state board is outstanding. They're good people who care about kids and want to move education forward, not only to help struggling school districts, but help districts that are achieving and have the department, you know, continue to be a model department and continue to grow. And so it's an exciting opportunity. I'm a little bit sad because there's a lot of great things that our board in Dearborn and our administration and teachers working together are achieving, and I kind of want to be here to see those through. But, you know, I'll have to look at it from afar and continue to support Dearborn and other school districts and help them be successful.
I want to ask you about the Office of School Reform again here and the EAA. Those two bodies work pretty closely with each other. The EAA, of course, operates 15 of the most underperforming schools in the city of Detroit. It's come in for criticism, some of it intense indeed. The state board's been skeptical. What's your view of the EAA? Is it a necessary layer of oversight? Does it need a lot of reform in your view? What?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm excited about the committee in Detroit that is looking at how, you know, they would like to see education shaped in the city of Detroit. And I'm very encouraged that that committee will come up with some recommendations for the department and the governor and legislature to look at. That's number one. Number two, I'm about success and giving opportunities for whether it be the EAA or school districts to turn around, but if they don't, then we have to take action because the students deserve better and the staff deserves better. And so where there isn't success, we will hold people accountable and we will take action. I will always be focused on what's best for kids, and that means if something's not working, it has to be changed.
What do you think chronically underperforming districts need the most?
Well, we need to change what's happening in the classroom. You know, we had some schools here in Dearborn that were performing, you know, in the low teens in terms of the state rating system. And, you know, what we did is changed administrators. We worked with the teachers that were in the buildings. We worked with the parents. We had a very focused school improvement plan. And we really changed what was taking place in the classroom, providing professional development to the staff, but really intense intervention for students. Now that school's performing in the 70-75 percentile. So it can happen. That was a school that had 99% economic disadvantaged, 70-80% English language learners, and we were able to turn it around in a couple of years. So when we focus on the things we should, which is the classroom instruction, we can improve a school or a school district.
I need to ask you about the third grade reading discussion here. This week, a House Appropriations Subcommittee eliminated funding for adult education in the 2015-16 school year, but it also eliminated money for Governor Snyder's third grade reading initiative. Where are you on this third grade reading discussion, at least broadly?
Well, what we did in Dearborn is starting in third grade, going all the way up through ninth grade, any student who's a year or more behind in reading and or math, we sign a parent contract where it talks about what we're going to do as a school district to get the student up to reading or math level and what we need the parents to do. And if the parents don't live up to their end of the bargain, then there is some discussion about holding the student back. Now, I don't believe in holding students back. I don't think that's the right thing to do or successful, but we have to work together with parents to get this growth in reading and math. We have the kids about 12% of the calendar year, and parents have them 88% of the calendar year. So it has to be a partnership. So do I believe in holding school districts and parents accountable for students being on grade level, third through ninth, in reading and math? Yes, I do.
How common is this contract approach?
As far as I know, we're the only district doing it. We're sharing it with other districts and hope people understand, because it is working. I mean, you see these third or fourth graders who are behind, and every month they're charting their growth. They're getting excited about it. They're focused on their personal goals. And when you're focused on a personal goal, you get growth. And it's making a difference here in Dearborn every day.
What do you think about the funding move here? The governor wanted to spend $25 million for his third grade program. Is cutting that short-sighted, like some people say?
Well, I mean, we need funding to help with at-risk students. So whether we do it through the third grade reading, whether we do it by putting more money in at-risk funding and making sure that every district who qualifies receives the funds, I think that ought to be the focus, whether it's in the separate categorical or in the at-risk categorical. Either way, I think is fine.
We've got less than a minute. We got 30 seconds to tell you the truth, but I've got to ask you one question about charter schools. If you can answer it efficiently, so much the better. How much reform does the charter school landscape in Michigan need, in your view, if any?
Well, any school that receives tax dollars should be held accountable for student achievement, graduation rates, and how they spend their dollars. Any school that receives tax dollars.
And that is not happening sufficiently, in your view?
In some school districts, no. And so we need to work on that.
We really appreciate the chance to get to know you here today. We want to thank our guest, Dearborn Public School Superintendent Brian Whiston. In July, he is expected to take over as Michigan's State Schools Superintendent. We'll talk again, sir. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.